Yeah, you can start turning to 1 Corinthians 15 this morning. And the last couple of weeks, we have been looking at our identity that we have with Christ. Our identity is how people identify us. Think about when you first start talking to somebody, you introduce yourself to them, they're somebody new. What's one of the first questions that most people ask? What do you do for a living? Right? And so then that sometimes becomes what they're known for. Oh yeah, John, he's that engineer. See, even in the days that Jesus was here on the earth, they referred to John the Baptist, Jesus the carpenter's son. But there's so much more to our identity than just our occupation. We should be known for our values, our character, and our true selves. That's why we're spending some time on this, recognizing that because of Jesus and our union with Him, that He has defined who we are. 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 54. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This morning, the identity that we're recognizing and embracing is that we are victorious. We're going to go verse by verse through this. Verse 54. This corruptible has put on incorruption. This mortal has put on immortality. As we talked about a few weeks ago, we take off our old nature that was corruptible, that was destined to die, and we put on incorruption, a new nature, and what is meant to live forever. Our relationship with Jesus positions us to make this choice to have victory. If you notice here, verse 54 starts with the word when. When is a conditional phrase. It doesn't happen until the following is true. We need to remind ourselves sometimes to put on Christ. See, when we put on Christ in His very nature, Then that is when it's what will come to pass, as he references here from Isaiah 25, that death is swallowed up in victory. We no longer have a reason to fear death. Before we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, our spirit man was destined to die. But because we accepted Jesus into our hearts, because of His victory over the grave, we have victory over the grave. Death no longer has any power over us. Verse 55 here, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? Paul, in this case, he's referencing Hosea 13:14. In Hosea 13:14 it says, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes. Death and the grave were notified clear back in the time of the prophet Hosea that they were already defeated. See, God was proclaiming judgment on Israel. But with that judgment, he was telling them that they still had the victory through him. That he would ransom us from the power of the grave, that the power of the grave would no longer have any effect on us. He would redeem us from our spiritual death, giving us eternal life with Jesus, through Jesus. O death, I will be your plagues. Some translations read their punishment. Death, God will be your punishment. Death is already defeated. Death is condemned already. O grave, I will be your destruction. Not only is the grave defeated, but the grave is destroyed. It's annihilated. Paul summarized this in his reference. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The word sting here is a weapon. Paul's words here is saying, death, where is your weapon? I can just picture in the movies where a bad guy's all excited. He's getting ready to, he's like, yeah, I've got the upper hand. And then he looks down and realizes that he's been disarmed. And that he's standing there vulnerable. That's when the whole thing turns around. That's what I'm picturing when Paul says this here. Death, where is your weapon? See, Jesus disarmed death at the cross and his resurrection from the grave. It took away any offense the enemy has over us. The enemy, although he may like to make noise, he's nothing more than a yipping dog without any teeth. He can't hurt us. My Bible says in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. We're in right standing because of God. No weapon formed against me will prosper. The enemy thinks he's about to hit us upside with a baseball bat, but what he's got is nothing more than a rubber chicken. It's nothing more than a pool noodle. See, we've disarmed the enemy and made him a fool. Because of Jesus' victory at the cross, we get to partake in that victory as well. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The grave has no victory. Jesus has the victory. And there isn't anything that's going to change that. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Death's weapon it tries to use is sin. But like we've talked about lately, sin has no power over us. We've been freed from sin. It's dead to us. It may have had power over us at one time, but not anymore. The strength of the weapon of sin is the law. Trying to live by a list of rules that just teaches us, or a list of rules that was intended to teach us what sin is, keeps you enslaved to sin. But Jesus wrote his laws on our heart. So then it's no longer just a list of rules, it's something personal to us. Jesus didn't come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. See, Jesus fulfilled everything that the Old Testament law required, nullifying the weapon that was being pointed at us. He overcame sin, and that gave us victory through him. You might be thinking, well, Pastor John, I don't feel very victorious. You don't know what I'm going through. How we feel doesn't change the fact that we are still victorious through Christ. Jesus made us victorious. Verse 57 continues, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Thank God because he didn't have to give us the victory, but he did. Because he loved us so much. He gave us the victory through Jesus. We always give God the glory. Even when things normally go our way, we're still to give him the glory. Whether we're going through a hard time or not, the only reason we have the victory is because we have it through Jesus. 58 continues, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We reminded ourselves that we have the victory, but then it's encouraging us so that we can stand strong in our faith. We all know that the enemy will come and try to discourage us, to try to get us annoyed, to try to get us distracted. This past Monday, I know the enemy was trying to get me discouraged. He knows what to try. For me, a lot of times, it's usually when something breaks or it starts having issues. Ashley pulled the mower up to the shop. And she goes, "Hey, it started skulking the last couple of passes." So I go over to the side of the mower and look down. There's a hole in the mower deck the size of Gracie's fist. And so the enemy started trying to get his foothold in there. But that's when you stand firm and you stand on God's word, because I know I have the victory. We have the victory over him getting us discouraged, getting us annoyed. The enemy's going to try to attack. If you've been saved for longer than 2 minutes, you know the enemy tries to attack. But we have the victory. We just have to remember that when we go through things. The Bible is clear in the book of James that we will go through things. We will face hard times. We will face trying times. But it's up to us on how we respond. We can go through things praising God because he has the victory. Or we can go through it with a sour expression on our face with a poor attitude. Either way, though, we're probably going to go through it. Most of the time, our discomfort that we have is only for a short period of time. And it shouldn't affect what our outlook of God is. I don't know why movie lines stick out to me so much. I have a knack for just remembering one-liners out of a movie. But this movie that I'm thinking of is Facing the Giants. Some of you guys may have seen it. It's by the Kendrick Brothers. And those of you who aren't familiar with the movie, it's about a high school football coach and him surrendering the results of his season to God. And one of the things that he was needing to do was get all of his players and his coaching staff on the same page as him. And there's a line in there that goes something like this. And they're talking about whether or not God wants them to win games. "I want God to bless this team so much that people will talk about what he did. But it means we got to give him our best in every area. And if we win, we praise him. And if we lose, we praise him." See, because at the end of the day, it didn't matter whether you won or lost the football game. What mattered was their heart and putting their trust in God, knowing that the true victory is found in Jesus. When we change our outlook to focusing on the victory that we have in Jesus, the trial looks completely different. Listen to this very closely because it helped me a lot in my walk. There's abundant freedom when we go from looking at the troubles that we're having as moving from trial to trial, and instead we start looking at it as victory to victory. There's freedom when we go from looking at it as trial to trial, and we start looking at it as freedom, as victory to victory. If we're always looking at ourselves going from valley to valley, we miss out on the fact that we go from mountaintop to mountaintop. God puts us in those mountaintop moments. That's where we should be. Because of the victory that Paul talks about, we can be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. It can get tiring. Trust me, I know. But the victory prepares us for so much more. It's not just a partial victory. It's not just a marginal, barely squeaking out of victory. It's a complete victory. Paul continues in the next chapter with five exhortations similar to verse 58 here. 1 Corinthians 16 and verses 13 and 14. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, let all that you do be done with love. If we're going to walk in victory, it's important for us to be mindful of what Paul is encouraging us here. First one there is watch. Now, watch in the Greek is gregeo. It's to take heed lest some destructive calamity suddenly overtakes one. We have to be observant to watch what is going on in order to recognize the battle. Too often, it takes things spiraling out of control for us to realize that we are in a spiritual battle. Now, don't get me wrong here. I'm not saying that everything we face is going to be spiritual. I'm not saying that there's a demon behind every corner. But when we're watchful, when we pay attention, we can become aware of what the enemy is preparing to do. Spirit of offense works that way a lot of times. One thing gets to someone, and then the spirit of offense makes every little small thing just amplified. Every little thing becomes an irritant. And then you start nitpicking. That's why we got to be alert a lot of times. Because that way we can see those warning signs before the enemy has a chance to really mount up a full charge. We're positioned in victory. An early end to the battle is better than a prolonged battle. The second thing that Paul encourages us here is to stand fast in the faith. Just like he said in verse 58, be steadfast. We can stand on our faith in Jesus Christ. We have that solid foundation. We have that place that we know can't be penetrated. God gave us His Word. One of the foundations of our faith is that everything that God says in our Bible is true. We can stand on what He says in His Bible. Whether or not we're going through a battle doesn't change our faith in Jesus Christ. It doesn't change what God says our identity is in Jesus. It doesn't change the fact that we have the victory. He continues here and says, be brave. We too can be bold. If God has given us the victory, we can use that confidently. Speak to the enemy and tell him what to do. See, when we're being watchful and we see the enemy starting to position himself for the battle, we don't wait for him to launch the attack. We take the battle to him. We go on the offense. Defense is meant to maintain. Offense is intended to advance. When you don't feel very brave, start speaking to yourself and telling yourself who you are in Christ. Then before you know it, you'll start declaring things against the enemy and where he can go, what he needs to stop doing, what he needs to get his hands off of. Start reminding yourself that you are a child of God, that you are a part of his family. So if you mess with me, you got to mess with my entire family. Oh yeah, and my family, it includes Jesus Christ. Yeah, you might know him. He's the Lion of Judah. Mess with one of us, mess with all of us in the kingdom. If God is for us, who can be against us? We are victorious. The next thing here is to be strong. First, he told us to be immovable. Now he's telling us to be strong. Battles take a lot of energy. They can start to get you fatigued. But it's important to keep the battle going, not to let up. Our strength comes from the Lord. When you start feeling weak, take it to God. He will strengthen us. It's a spiritual battle. We have the strength of Christ in us. It may feel like the enemy is about to overpower you, and that's exactly what the enemy wants you to think. But you're fueled by the Holy Spirit. See, we have Christ's authority within us, and the enemy is subject to it. It's one of the strongest weapons that we have against him. Our battles are not won with weapons of this world. It's over the principalities and powers and the ruling forces, declaring words over them, speaking straight to the situation and telling it to stop. Jesus, when the seas were overpowering the disciples, seasoned fishermen on a boat, and they were scared for their life, he spoke to the sea, "Peace, be still." God's given us a mouth. He's given us a tongue. It's got power in it. We can use his authority. Finally, he says here, let all that you do be done with love. Just like he said in verse 58, always abounding in the work of the Lord. See, we have authority over the enemy, but we need to recognize that there are others around too. We don't want to have collateral damage, so to speak. There's no doubt that we're to be active and do what God is calling us to do. Let all that you do, to me, it's not just that we sit back and only engage in warfare in our prayer closets. Abounding in the work of the Lord, again, it's clear that we're to do work. Now, works aren't going to get us to heaven or get us a better seat at the table. But it is what flows out of us, out of our obedience, for what God is instructing us to do. Sometimes God may give us instructions because he intended his church to be an effective presence in shaping the world around us, showing people what it's like to be a follower of Jesus. You know, that's one of the things with the Promise Keepers event here is, as men, we're supposed to be the ones shaping the world around us. We're supposed to be the ones shaping our government around us, the society. Instead, we've allowed it to go the other way. We've allowed them to try to tell us who we are and what society says that we should be, what we should do. But everything we do, we need to do it with love. We need to be loving on those around us. Getting beaten up with a Bible is not usually effective. But showing people what it's like to be a follower of Jesus, showing people the freedom that we have in Christ, showing the family that we have in Christ, showing the victory that we have in Christ. That's what people respond to. That's what people notice. In all that we do it in victory. We do it in love. Jesus had said, by our love, people would know that we are his disciples. Love brings victory. One last nugget here to send you guys out with today. 1 John 5, starting at verse 1. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Too often we overcomplicate things. We think that we have to have some special anointing, that we need to have others take it to God for us. No. This victory is for each and every one of us. It's available to you through your faith in Jesus. You are born of God. You overcome the world. The victory that has overcome the world is our faith. Our faith in Jesus, our faith in his resurrection, our faith in the power that his name has. Who is he who overcomes the world? It's he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. That's you. That's me. We are victorious. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for your victory. Lord, we thank you that you have made us victorious with you, Jesus. Lord, that our very position is positioned in you. Our very position is that of victory. Lord, we thank you that you are right here with us. You are dwelling inside of us. That you have shown yourself, God. That you have declared that we are yours. Lord, help us recognize that victory in our lives. Help us recognize the work that you have called us to do, God. Lord, help encourage us when the enemy tries to attack. Lord, help us recognize the words to say into every situation. Help us recognize what you want in it all, Lord. We thank you, God. We praise you. We love you. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.